Hello, humans of triathlon, and welcome back or welcome to the Hot Podcast, where we bring you the ordinary but extraordinary world of triathlon, one human, one story at a time, with the aim to inspire and to celebrate this life-changing sport and its humans through real, authentic, raw, and enjoyable conversations with triathletes from around the globe and from all walks of life. I'm Swapnil Chauhan here with my co-host Charles Hunk and Radmom Robin, along with another amazing guest.
Did you know that highly achieving people in their fields, they usually start in complete ignorance of what makes them ultimately highly achieving people? Take the case of today's special guest, who started running at the weight loss mechanism while he was 95 kilos. And at some point, he got inspired by a TV show about the Ironman race, as we all do. So he turned to triathlon, and he had at this stage no idea about swimming, and thought that by training and completing an Ironman would actually make him a great swimmer. Well, guess what? On the day of his first Ironman attempt, he barely made a swim cutoff by just 2 minutes, and he finished the race in just under 16 hours. But you know what? This was just the beginning. First, he had the courage to do what many people wouldn't. In 2013, after 14 years of working in the IT arena, he managed to move out of the evil corporate world to fulfill his dream and become a full-time triathlon coach, especially supporting a growing sport in India. And second, this mate has some curriculum. Listen to this. 20 Ironman races, including Kona, 13 marathon races, including being a Boston qualifier. He has coached over 500 athletes, from couch potatoes all the way to ultraman triathlon finishers. He's the only Indian to be awarded the all-world athlete gold status 5 years in a row. That is the top 1%, meaning that he was the highest-ranked Ironman age grouper from India over the last 5 years. And on top of that, he's the second fastest Indian Ironman finisher behind Subrabani Venkatesh. Although he's based in Brisbane, today we have our first ever guest from India, the land of the great Taj Mahal and the multi-million dollar industry of Bollywood, the land of incredible people like Sachin Tendulkar, Mahatma Gandhi, and Shah Rukh Khan, the land of curries, Lamb Vindaloo, dosas, and chai tea. Plus, it's the second most populous country in the world, home to 1.3 billion people. If you're the highest ranked Ironman age grouper from India over the last 5 years out of 1.3 billion living people, that, my friends, is a big deal. Please welcome to the Humans of Triathlon Hot Podcast, Coach Deepak Rush.
Thank you, Charles.
Hey, Coach.
Welcome.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, we're glad to have you on the show, Coach. Like Charles mentioned, you're our first Indian guest, so I'm sure it's going to be a great episode for all of us and our listeners to hear and get an insight into, you know, what the triathlon scene is like in a country like India, where the sport is just getting started, and also just your journey as someone who adopted the sport pretty early on and has seen it evolve over the years, and now easily one of the top coaches and athletes in the country. So yeah, I think it's going to be a good listen. So thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So to get things going, we usually like to start off at the beginning of the timeline, which would be your childhood, your family, where and how you were raised and such. So let's say you had to write a book about your life from the time you were born until now. What would be the title of your first chapter and why?
I think to start with, I think everybody back in India would maybe, you know, just grow up playing cricket or whatever it is. I think I had a very similar lifestyle as opposed to that. School, cricket, and watching cricket and playing cricket. I think that's what it was. And slowly in high school, just found basketball to be a little more interesting. And so that's another one which sort of, you know, caught my attention during that time. And I still follow basketball, and maybe not having as much time as I can play now, but that's something which I remember quite vividly in terms of high school and college, just playing basketball more as a pastime and nothing really serious. And that's what it was. And I think to start with post-college and things, everybody, I think the whole IT revolution or job market around IT was all talked about. So I was also one of them with respect to trying to, you know, move towards IT post my college and getting my, you know, engineering degree completed. So that was pretty much my foray out of studies and into the, you know, the corporate world, so as to speak, and made that transition.
Right. So when was it that your health sort of started getting away from you and you started putting on the weight? And what exactly led to that happening?
I think I was always a bit overweight. Maybe I was always a foodie. I think I still am a foodie, but thankfully to triathlon, I think you can afford to sort of, you know, moderate a bit and get away with a few things. But yeah, I've definitely made some big changes since taking up the sport. But I think way back in school and college and things, yeah, I was definitely having a lot of a bad lifestyle choices, mostly on food and sweets. I mean, it wasn't about drinking or anything else, but it was primarily mainly, you know, food. I love sweets. I still do. So that's what got me there. And the same continued after joining the corporate world and, you know, have a, you know, good life in terms of good job, travel overseas for, you know, IT projects. Once I joined Infosys, where I worked for close to 14 years, and I think, you know, good job, good money, and the only way, I guess, at that point to look at that was to, you know, do what you want types, and that definitely built up over a period and got me to, well, maybe where I shouldn't be with respect to my weight and everything else.
Do you, like, see that amongst your colleagues as well?
I certainly do. I think even while I was there in that stage, everyone around me, well, it was the same, right? Everybody sort of following the same. Right now, I still see a lot of people who come to me for, you know, to join as part of our training program, you know, they typically have a pretty similar, you know, cycle of what they've gone through. Reasonably active in their school, college, and then once the corporate world comes, pretty sedentary lifestyle. You know, the working hours in turn affects, you know, what they can do in terms of sleep, food habits, and then at about 30, 35, or maybe even later, they want to make some changes, and that's what triggers a few things. But yes, very common right now.
I think that's one thing that bridges cultures is the computer culture.
Yes.
Chained to a desk.
It's the bug has hit everyone.
Yes.
So, you know, with any weight loss or transformation or lifestyle change of any kind, I'm always interested to know, like, what led you to wanting to make the change at that particular time? And was there like a specific defining moment kind of thing, or was it more like a series of events?
Can't put a finger on anything, but I think one thing which came up was, well, I think I was about 20, 24, 25 maybe. And I got posted to Germany for an IT project working with Adidas. And I was just maybe 6 months into my career with respect to, you know, just after engineering. And at that point, I saw a lot of people around me who were maybe twice my age, 45 or 50 years old, you know, out there, you know, staying active, running, cycling, coming cycling to work and running in lunch breaks and everything else. That I just saw that and said, I'm half the age and barely can manage to do anything else. So that's where I said, okay, time to do some changes, and decided to do something. And again, took up running at that stage to see if I can, you know, start the journey. And that's what started. And I really have to thank the people around me at that time and actually that environment to, you know, force me to think. And I decided to take up running. And eventually, I was in Germany. And Berlin Marathon was something which was very, obviously, you know, the biggest marathon one of the biggest marathons in the world and the biggest one in Germany. And I said, after a few days of sort of running and things, I said, okay, maybe sign up for that. Maybe if I train for that and do that, hopefully it'll force me to make a few changes and start that thing. And so I went ahead and signed up with absolutely zero experience of much running. In hindsight, as a coach, maybe not the most ideal build up and everything else, but got through, and I'm glad I stuck with it after that also.
Did you have friends or coworkers that joined you, or were you just totally training on your own?
I had a few people who had done the Berlin Marathon before, and this was way back in 2002. So I did my initial reading and, you know, had the typical sort of, you know, build up the runs every week. I didn't have anyone to, I mean, I could have run with few people, but obviously I was extremely slow and, you know, barely managed to keep pace. There were people around who definitely helped me to understand, you know, what needs to be done and, you know, do the usual long run and 3 weeks before do this and, you know, everything else. Yeah, pretty good runners around. So that kept me inspired. And, you know, obviously, you know, the community keeps you going. But yeah, that got me started. And
it's amazing how the environment makes such a big difference, because, you know, like you said, you were in India and people around you weren't doing much. So you were basically following that same path. And then you go to Germany, you see all these people, you know, whether they're running or cycling or whatever, and you get inspired to do the same. So it's amazing how crucial a role the environment plays.
Absolutely. I think that's what, when you said any defining moment or things, I think, again, it's not like the first day I landed there. It still took a time to put through, but definitely, you know, thankful to Adidas and the people around and everybody there to support, definitely I owe them a lot with respect to where I am right now.
So what was that first marathon experience like?
It was one long day. I think obviously zero running experience, but one thing which was always, which got me going through the training and the run was prior to that. I mean, I don't think many people know this, but my first sort of race or event was actually not a full running marathon. Actually, it was a skating, inline skating marathon. There was a skates I had bought in Adidas for about, I don't know, 5 or 10 euros in some sale, and it was just lying around in the closet, and I said, okay, I need to learn how to skate, and nothing happened for a long time. And at one stage there was a 38 kilometer skating marathon in the nearby town. So I said, okay, let's go sign up. It'll force me how to learn how to skate. And that got me going. And I somehow learned how to skate and inline skates and did that marathon, 38 kilometers of inline skating. Yeah, it was very satisfying that I sort of, you know, chased that goal. And that got me going for the first marathon, where it said, okay, if I can learn how to skate and then do a marathon, I think I know how to run. I just need to get better at it and, you know, go at it. So that was my key motivation and, you know, sort of thing to say, all right, I've done the hard part with respect to that. So that's how the journey for that marathon sort of made me mentally a little more, I would say, easier, even though physically it was very hard. I think that I drew a lot from the previous experience. Yeah, it was had my share of, you know, knee pains and IT band injuries and all those things, which I heard later on. I was just suffering in the build-up and things, but yeah, I managed to sort of do that. It took about 4 hours 58 minutes for my first marathon, which I'm pretty happy with. I think it's a good debut for about signing up for it maybe 3 months before and just having to. I was just running a few kilometers here and there, so not a good ideal build-up, but. Very happy with that. And I still remember a funny part where I was supposed, some people told me you have to do your longest run 3 weeks before a marathon. And I said, all right, I didn't have any, you know, we didn't have any Garmin or anything else. So I said, there's a stadium close to my home. I remember still going there and saying, let me run there and do about 70 laps of a 400 meter track. Oh, that's about 28 Ks. And it was about 1 kilometer away from home. So one and a half maybe. I said, all right, I need to do my 30K run. You know, everyone's talking about it. So let me go do that. So went there and did. I think I got through about 68 laps. And believe me, it was 1 kilometer away from home. And I still remember calling a cab to go home. I couldn't complete that run. So, but yeah, I think those are the days which sort of, you know, you go back and said, okay, tough times, but I still, you know, have a laugh about it. And I'm glad I stuck with it. And yeah, 42 kilometers was a thing. But Berlin Marathon is such a great atmosphere, about 25, 30,000 people run. I think that just carried me through. And, you know, I'd set a target of just completing it. And then the secondary target was maybe, you know, under 5 hours. So I was really happy that I got that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just surprised at how you do this. I mean, you came from being essentially an IT world, 95 kilos, let's sign for a marathon in 3 months. This is in 2002. So YouTube has still 3 years more to go to be founded. So I don't know how to train for a marathon. There's no YouTube to look at it. And suddenly you just have this small community of people inspired by Adidas. You do this inline skating marathon and suddenly you go to the Berlin Marathon, none other than, and you complete it in a very, very decent time for your first marathon. So that's it's a very impressive story so far, definitely.
Thank you.
Especially the run on the track. That is crazy dedication. That's awesome. I think that shows like a little glimpse of things to come for you. Seems like that's some foreshadowing.
Yeah, unfortunately, no GPS time. The only way I could sort of measure and, you know, keep my nutrition going and everything was there. But yeah, I think it built up now. Even now I run 1 kilometer repeats even when I do long runs and people say, how do you do that? I said, well, I've done 30K runs on tracks and 150 kilometer bike rides in 1.4 kilometer bike tracks. So, you know, it makes it easier on the mind for me.
I guess it's kind of like swimming laps, sort of the same thing.
True. Yeah.
So where did you go from there?
Well, after that, I don't think I made complete changes to my lifestyle. So obviously along the way during the training and everything else, I had started to lose weight and everything was, you know, going well. But after the marathon, I don't think I made wholesome changes which are sustainable. So I sort of yo-yoed a bit up and down again with respect to weight. I did a bit of few more running events. I heard about this Boston thing and I said, okay, and everyone were talking about this sub-3 being this, you know, big goal of only a very small percentage doing. So I just wrote down two goals. One was to qualify for Boston and two was to run a sub-3 hour marathon. So then I just started to train a bit more and slowly got my times and I wanted to go after a sub-4. So I sort of got that work going, had a couple of failures. I think I went too hard too early and usual things, nutrition and all that. So I did a 4:11 and a 4:23, obviously on track until 30 or 32 kilometers and then faded away, dramatically. But along the same time, in the place where I was staying, this is a small village in Germany called Herzogenaurach. I mean, small village, or I don't think even it's a town. It's a small place. That's where the headquarters of Adidas is. And also just two blocks away is the headquarters of Puma. So it's the small place. And they were organizing a triathlon, calling it Herzoman. You know, Herzo being short form for Herzogenaurach, and obviously taking on the aspect of an Ironman. I didn't know about Ironman. I just knew, okay, there is a triathlon called Herzoman. I think it was about 400 or 500 meter swim, 20K ride and 5K run in the forest and 20K ride around the village. So I think it was a borrowed cycle, or I can't remember. I think I had a small commute bicycle. So yes, I sort of knew how to swim maybe 15, 20 meters, but nothing more than that. So obviously, again, I said, okay, let's sign up. It'll force me something else, a new challenge. So signed up, practiced a bit. And I think, I said, okay, let's go ahead with this triathlon, which is happening. So again, I think 400 meters swim. And I think there was a wave starting every 15 minutes where people would jump into a pool. And I remember still talking to him through a translator saying, what if I can't finish this 400 meters in 15 minutes? He said, no, everybody does. He thought I was kidding. I don't think he had seen me swim. So I think I just took about 14 minutes and 40 seconds or something to complete the 400 meter swim. I was the only one stopping after every 25 meters in a pool, obviously. I finished that, but then I felt, you know, it's time to maybe stick to running. Swimming's not my stuff. So went back to running, tried another one in the US, again in a swimming pool, small, not even a sprint triathlon, shorter than that. Again, struggled with the swim. So I said, I think that's it. Let's leave it at that and stick to running goals, and managed to run a sub 4 hour marathon after a couple of attempts, and kept that going until I sort of, you know, landed in Australia and saw that thing on TV about Ironman and things. And that's where, you know, the thing came back to me saying, okay, let's give triathlon a shot a lot more seriously and, build up properly.
Right. So was the move to Australia because of your work?
Yes, once again, I really have to thank my job and career early on in IT, where I spent almost 4 to 5 years in Germany, which I think helped me shape a lot of things. After that, I was in the US for about 6 months, where again, that's where I did my sub 4 hour marathon, I think 3:59:56 or something in Tucson. And then back to Australia, where again, I was sent here for a project for about 6 to 9 months, sort of IT assignment. So once I came here, I think that whole aspect of swimming and triathlon was always there. And I guess, you know, I think we all know Australia has a land of, a lot of good swimmers. I thought it must be something with the water they drink or something there. So maybe give it another shot. And I just started to, you know, do that. But at the same time, saw this thing. I think it was Ironman Florida or Ironman Cozumel, I can't remember, on ESPN. And I'd never heard about Ironman or those distances. When I looked at it, I said, okay, it sounds like a challenge. I want to train for it and do that. And again, it'll force me to focus on swimming and make me a very good swimmer. Obviously, very wrong about what it takes to be a good swimmer. But it was another trigger, and that's what got me started. A little bit of a detour from my running goals and qualifying to Boston, but I thought this is a bigger challenge and I want to go after it.
So like, when did you actually feel the need to get a coach? And so which Ironman did you sign up for?
This was Ironman Port Macquarie, Ironman Australia, April 6th, 2008. So once I came here, that's when I sort of looked at it. At that stage, you still had to do a half or a 70.3 to validate yourself. And so I did a Gold Coast, close to where I live in Brisbane. So Gold Coast half Ironman. Did that. I think the first 70.3, first Ironman, and even the second Ironman was primarily sort of self-coached. Bought a book, I think, going long. There is a book and just built up my training plans and, followed some principles and looked at it. The first Ironman and even the second one, I think just 3 weeks before my second Ironman is where I did, sign up under a coach. And I still remember when I was going riding with somebody else, I was always training alone. Even going to a swim squad was a little bit demotivating because you are in the slowest lane, and even with fins on, I couldn't keep up with the rest of the squad, right? So those were some early days where I said it just, in retrospect, maybe I should have stuck with it. I think I would have got my swimming a little more better quicker. But obviously at that stage, I just wanted to do little things on my own until I get to a certain stage, which I think at that time felt normal or the right thing to do, but I wish I had done some things differently. So yeah, the first one or two Ironmans was with myself. 3 weeks before my second Ironman, I signed up with Alan Pittman here in Brisbane. And since then, I've always had a coach. He continues to be my mentor. And now I have another coach, Toby Somerville, who's also, been helping me over the last, year or two. So definitely made a huge difference to how you approach things. Thankful to those coaches and a lot of people around me who have helped me.
So when you say makes a huge difference, why don't you kind of expound on that since you are a coach? What were the big differences you noticed at first?
I think two things. One was, I think the confidence the coach gives you when you yourself don't see things. So that came as a, you know, I'd always ran a few marathons, right? And in the build up and even doing a sub 4 hour marathon for me was took a lot of years. I did that and I'd done a 358, 357. But then a bunch of people were training here for a Gold Coast marathon. And I remember my coach looking at me and saying, I think your target of 345 or 350, what you're looking at is too conservative. I think you can do a 330. And I'm like, you know, that's a big difference from what was in my head,
yeah.
Right? I mean, maybe he said that to push me, or maybe he saw that, whatever it may be. But he said, nah, I've seen you run. We've not focused on running for fresh marathons. We've been focused on triathlons. That doesn't mean your running is not where it should be. And it was not like 8 months from now, we'll run a 330. This was just a marathon 8 weeks away, actually. And we were just training for triathlons and along the way, see if we can put a block of running and put through. And that really gave me a lot of confidence. And I did do a 330 actually, in that marathon. That sort of, you know, that's one thing which I feel, you know, people see, they know when to push you. And at the same time, they know when to hold you back when you're trying to do too much, which I've seen, you know, when things don't go your way. The most natural thing people do when they're self-coached, or at least which I used to do, was go do more of the same thing or completely change things. And, you know, as my coach also, you know, used to say, and I think you also will agree, endurance sport is filled with free advice. Yeah. Every time you go for a ride, you'll get 5 other things, all with good intentions and maybe there, but maybe not works for you. So one person keeping perspective of what's good for you, what's the right time to push, when to pull back, and, you know, to think and take away the thinking of what do I do tomorrow, right? I just wake up, I have a 2 hours, 45 minute bike trainer workout today, which I will do later in the day, right? I don't have to think what I have to do. Doesn't matter when, what, I'll get it done because my coach has told me, right? So that just brings a lot of perspective. As a coach, I can coach myself. I think I know enough about, you know, coaching, but I don't think I'll be where I am if I had sort of, you know, done that. So that two things of has really shown the difference with respect to what it means.
Mm.
So you self-coach yourself for 2 Ironmans, which is pretty impressive. But do you ever regret not getting a coach earlier on? Because, I mean, I'm sure coaching yourself would have done a lot of good in some ways as well, because you would have had to go out there and learn stuff yourself and, you know, be accountable to yourself and maybe even understand your body a bit better. So do you regret not getting a coach earlier on, or do you think it was a good way to go?
No, I think in retrospect, I think from day one, if I had started, I might not have given a, you know, such a hard time for my wife, who was waiting for me at the swim cutoff times and things, and me coming that close and you know, all those things. But I think, yeah, I'm a sort of mixed thing. I think in general, yes, I learned a lot, like you've rightly identified. I learned a lot about the whole principles and how my body responds and things. But I think in retrospect, still, I think I wish I'd taken a coach. I think that part would have been, but no regrets about me having done on my own, because I think that shaped me to think a lot. I did a lot of reading on lots of things, even though I might not have implemented everything due to paucity of time and corporate work and family and everything else. But there were so many things which I learned, which I still, you know, remember, and now has helped me in my coaching part. But it was some good fun times with those things. With those you know, early days, but also it was a lot of solitary training. So in addition to getting coached, I think joining a group, even if not a coach, would have, I think, also helped. But I think it's still a solitary sport. I think those early days of training alone and sticking to certain plans which I myself made, and accountability to myself, I think that sort of, you know, definitely helped me, you know, get a bit mentally more stronger.
It sounds like you built in some toughness early on.
Yeah, not too much choice when you sign up there and can't show up. I think it humbles you, right? I think we've all done triathlons and marathons. So luckily, I think I didn't have to find it too hard. I mean, had some bad races. I think we all have. But yeah, no point moving the goalposts. So I sort of, I use that. It's not a fear that the race is coming. I think I just use it as, okay, what I do today will help me on race day. So just better get it done.
Mm. Now, and you've been talking about this concept of finding the right balance, you know, about you saying about to know how to push yourself, because it's important not to find an objective to make headway and advance in the sport, but also avoid getting the burnout or getting injury or whatever. And obviously during these two sort of first Ironman, let's call it the two Ironman initial period of yourself, you were self-coached. So, and now, but now obviously you are a certified coach and you have had all this experience. And now obviously in retrospect, do you think that could have you could have had a better balance during this initial phase, or you think that you managed to know your body well doing your self-coach?
No, I think one of the things I remember reading also was, you know, listen to your body, which I still tell to all my trainees. Yes, I've given you a workout today, but still listen to your body. If you don't have it, you know, change it. But if it happens too often, either the recovery is not proper or, you know, my program, what I'm giving you needs to change types. So going back, I can't recollect. I didn't have any injuries in those two Ironmans, which means I was just setting up small little blocks. I knew endurance meant, you know, good week and another good week and another good week. We don't need some epic weeks because something didn't go my way and then again lose out too much time. I had sort of learned that mistake in my early first marathon thing where, you know, training just sort of 3 months ramping up volume and put through, and I did have a few injuries leading up to the first marathon. So I was a bit cautious. I don't think could have pushed myself more. Well, I would like to think that, you know, swim, bike and run, I was relatively, I mean, running, there was a bit of a background, but swim and bike completely new. And I think I didn't miss any sessions, or I didn't do too much of because of missed sessions. So just looking back, I think the balance was good. Right now, I think, thankfully, in addition to me, there are others telling me how to maintain that balance. So I've been quite lucky to, you know, have a pretty consistent build-up, except for that corporate part into those 14 years where the sleep and the work sort of, you know, plays a bit of a role in missed workouts and recovery not happening properly. I would have preferred to take a week break rather than push myself through, which I think I always did.
The shorter distances ever appeal to you? Because like with both running and triathlon, you went for the big ones right away, you know, the marathon and Ironman.
Yeah, I didn't know something like, I mean, obviously there were 10K races and half marathons, but I said, look, I don't know if running a 10K is going to get me lose my weight and get me sustained. So I always looked at it as, all right, what can get me to take up a big change in whatever I want to do? So that's what got me to running that marathon. And at the same time, in 2002, I said I had a very small window staying in Germany. Even though I went back eventually there for a much longer period, I thought that's my only opportunity to make a change, run a marathon, and you know, hit some milestone. So again, I've not done too many half marathons, and you'll be surprised. I did my first Olympic distance triathlon this year. Mm. I'd never done an Olympic distance try until after 20 Ironman triathlons.
Oh, wow.
Partly because, I mean, to be honest, early on, the amount of money it took to go do a full Ironman race and maybe even a half or a sprint, if you're traveling, almost, I understand the registration costs could be different, but a lot of other things are still the same. So I was just, you know, being practical about, okay, just go after some things because I'd set some goals. But this year I did do a bit of short distance, Olympic distance try, because I wanted to try to qualify for the ITU World Championship. So this year, actually no Ironmans. First time I focused on Olympic distance, and it's been good. And I've done a few half marathons and 10K races, but only because it helped me towards my bigger goal. I didn't as such have anything, drawn towards it or be attracted towards it for whatever reason. Maybe when I'm very old, I'll just stick to smaller ones.
So how are you focusing differently when you're focusing on the shorter, intenser races?
Again, discussing with my coach, we both felt that we have a good training base, and that's something I've always been confident on. Even X months of not doing too many long workouts or things, you don't lose it. So the focus has definitely been on, a little more on building a bit more of intensity, getting faster. So I did a half marathon earlier this year for the first time in maybe 10 years, I think. I had not done a half marathon, other than a half marathon in an Ironman. I had not done a half marathon in about 10 years. So again, we were just focusing on getting faster at those speeds and then taking over that speed as we build up in the season towards a bigger race. So I'm doing a full Ironman next year. So this year was about focusing on that. It's been good. It also has given me a bit more time because I'm starting to focus on my business a little more, and it involves a bit more travel to India a lot more frequently this year compared to previous years. So it helped me to just make sure that I can continue to focus on shorter workouts, keep getting better faster, and also take a little more time away from this training this year, this season, to focus a little more on my work and get a few things happening in India.
So tell us, for those of us who aren't Swapnil, tell us about the triathlon scene in India. What is it like? What's it like when you go back?
Obviously where running was maybe 15 years back to where cycling was maybe 10 years back as a sport in India, that's where sort of the numbers and the growth are. But looking at the number of events which are now cropping up, I think the rate at which triathlon is growing is definitely, something. When I quit my job in 2013, you had to explain people what a triathlon was, right? And I don't know. When I did my first one in 2008, I don't know how many had done or how many people from India had done. I still remember writing to Ironman, Hawaii and Kona saying, how many people from India have gone there? Because I've written this goal. I just want to know how many have done, what's the best time types? And they said, I can't recollect many. So I knew, the sport's new. But in 2013, when I quit and wanted to take it up, I knew it's going to grow. It's coming, the wave is coming. And in the last 5 years, we now have maybe sort of 8 to 10 reasonably well-established triathlons happening annually of various distances, sprint, Olympic, even a half iron distance. I would say more than half of them, or at least half of them, are in the open water, whereas a few of them are still in a sort of a swimming pool setup. Mm-hmm. Which is unfortunately because the number of water bodies which are available close to a bike route and everything else is always a challenge. But that's growing. The number of people doing local events, but also number of people traveling out has increased dramatically. I mean, there were 134 people who did Ironman Sri Lanka 70.3 Colombo this year, right? And right from our club, from Yoska perspective itself, we had about 35 people whom we trained. So that's a huge number. 135 people traveling. Yes, it's a close enough neighboring country, but it's the same. I'm sure in Malaysia, which is in about 3 weeks' time, last year, I think there were at least 50 or 70 people out there doing Ironman 70.3 and the full Ironman in Malaysia. So the number of people taking up the sport has increased, traveling out has increased, number of events has increased. We still have a long way to go, but I think I've seen the numbers grow, and it was a big change for me when I swapped my corporate career for triathlon coaching. But I knew the numbers are in my favor. When I say numbers, well, it's a large country, like you were stating in the starting of your podcast. All I needed was a very, very, very small percentage of people who would potentially take up the sport and, be ready to, you know, sort of pay for a service and for the coaching and to, you know, put through. And it's, the whole idea is to sort of create that market and, you know, then, you know, go along with it. So it's definitely growing.
Hmm.
So when did the desire to start coaching other people come into the picture? And like, what was that whole process like of taking that leap from your corporate job, which you were in for 14 years, to then starting your own coaching business? I mean, that's a leap that many people are afraid to take. So what is that whole process like, and what got you interested in doing that?
I think in general, I was always passing some, you know, because I'd already done a few marathons, people were asking me a few questions, and I remember trying to get a few more people to run and lose weight and small things like that. So that was happening, but again, in very isolated small incidents. But I think in 2011 and 12 and 13, for about 2 or 3 years, I was trying to go under 11 hours in an Ironman. And I mean, I remember doing 11 hours and 50 seconds, 11 hours and a minute, and 11 hours and 29 seconds. I just couldn't go under 11 hours, even though I was training really hard. But obviously, the amount of time I could train and the work demands, all that was sort of, you know, definitely affecting a few things. And in 2013, again, I remember Port Macquarie, driving back from there. I think it's about 500 or 600 kilometers away from Brisbane. And obviously, one more race was completed. And I think my body was a bit breaking down because I was not taking care of it and I was not getting better. And also spending time with family, all those things. So that's where, you know, I really put it down as, well, there are three things happening in life. You know, there is family. I had a three-year-old son at that time. So wife and son. There is work. Work was going really well. I mean, I was, had a great job, great people around. I was growing within my corporate career. And third, triathlon-wise, yes, I'd done a fair amount of triathlons. I was getting better. I was liking it. I was very passionate about it. But really looking at it, there were three things, right? There was family, there was work, there was triathlon. And I felt there's only room for two. I don't think I'm doing justice overall for all three. There's only room for two. So time to pick one. And when I put that into perspective, it was a very easy decision, even though it was a big decision financially and everything else. So I said, all right, work has to go. Triathlon has to stay, but let's make triathlon our work and let's go after, training people. It's a good place to learn more about the sport, get certified, all those things here in Australia, and maybe, train people online and build the sport back in India. So that was the time or the decision to take that. And I had this discussion with my wife and she was very supportive, and we said, okay, let's give this 6 months and see where it takes. Right, we still need something to pay our bills on a monthly basis, so let's see if there is money in this and if this takes off to a certain degree and the trend is at least trending up. Then otherwise, I was not burning any bridges back in my corporate career. They actually wanted me to take my managers and a few people said, why don't you just take a sabbatical and, you know, take some time off
come
and
back.
Come back types. But I knew it's just 1 foot out of the door. I don't think I'll go after it with the same thing. I mean, but at the same time, I was not burning any bridges in my, I was fairly confident that in 6 months time, if this did not take off the weight, should be, I can always go back either to the same company or otherwise. I was fairly confident in my skills to, you know, find another job. And and again, maybe sounding cliches, but like they say, if you want to fail, fail early. And I was only 35 or 36, and there is still so many more years left. So if it didn't work out, it's all right.
Very true.
We'll figure out something else.
Good advice.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really great message. You know, you can always just go back to that ordinary job or whatever it is. So yeah, there's this other thing I wanted to talk about. So, you know, you've coached a large number of athletes in India, obviously, and like you said, the sport is growing, the trend is upwards. And I think a large reason for that is Ironman. You know, the whole brand of Ironman and what it stands for. But I think I just see this Ironman sort of craze in the country. Which is great in one way because it attracts more people to the sport. but it can be a downside in some ways as well, right? Because I'm guessing, and correct me if I'm wrong, that a high majority of the athletes that come to you for coaching, they would come saying that they want to do an Ironman. And we've talked about this a few times on the podcast earlier as well, that triathlon isn't only Ironman. And we see it all over the world, people jumping to the Ironman distance pretty quickly. And, you know, but I think, at least from what I see, that's even more so prevalent in India.
I think like to touch upon two areas. One is, I think the brand of Ironman is pretty big. So whoever wants to do their first big triathlon, I think, they are always going after this, right? People say, hey, I did my first iron distance triathlon, or I did a challenge, you know, with all due respect. I think there are lots of great triathlons. And I also do a lot of smaller triathlons because, again, it's less, it costs me lesser. It's a great race. It's a great brand still, right? So I'm fully up for that. But I think a lot of people who want to do their first one or have something on a bucket list, because that's what people associate with. I think that's what has drawn. And you're right about that being a lot more prevalent in India. And but I've always, I remember the first venture, I mean, I started right now, the current venture is called Yoska, but when I started in 2013, I called it Try a New Life, right? I was telling people it's a lifestyle choice. Triathlon gives you an option to make some changes and keeps you motivated to sustain those changes. You can along the way race, get better, get competitive, have aggressive goals, all that. But at any point of time, it should continue to be a wholesome change and a lifestyle change around. So that's what I've always told. And it's nice to have a goal to say, I want to do an Ironman, but let's make sure we are ready for it. So that's been something which I've been quite vocal about it with, you know, a few people. Some people don't like it. They say, hey, I had another coach who said I can do it. I said, fair enough. I have a duty of care and I think this is what you should be doing. And that's fine. I don't need to look at it as a business loss because somebody is going somewhere else. I think that is, but I don't think one person like me can make that change. It is something which I'm seeing it in running. You know, a lot of people, I mean, I felt my first marathon time of 4:58 was, you know, with slow and very premature in terms of putting through. But I see people running a 5:20, 5:25 and them wanting to progress to an ultra marathon very quickly. I mean, so there is this, maybe it's a, I don't know, it's a peer pressure or social gratification. I don't know what it is, where people are drawn towards.
Shortage.
Sorry?
I said patience shortage.
Patience shortage. I mean, the hardest thing which I found when I'm training people is to hold back, to say, hey, we do this. We get your half marathon time to this, and then we'll go after it. But my eight other friends are doing it. Yep, eight other friends are doing it, but maybe they're more ready for it. Maybe they're not. I can only, you know, speak for you. So that is there. Well, one thing I've tried to do is we've tried to bring in a bit more structure, training, make training more accessible to people and maybe even more affordable. So in the last two or three years, we've built our own small little app and platform, which helps us coaches, take training to various people across India and overseas in a way where people can actually, see the progression and, follow that structured method to put through. But again, it's something which will take a lot more time. But I'm hoping that with a lot more people speaking about it and also, recognizing the fact that there is time, right? What's the rush in doing all that immediately and then suffering and then not liking the sport, right? The chances of you getting away from triathlon or getting away from running when you have a bad experience of a race is quite high, right? So why not build it up well, enjoy the experience of training, the race, and then look forward to doing one more, not because you failed or struggled, but because you loved it so much.
Yeah, that's a great approach. And I imagine it cuts down the injuries from your athletes that you coach as well.
Yes. I mean, endurance sports, we are prone to it, but the whole idea there is, how do we because people are still not finding time to do all the small things like sleeping properly and resting and recovering and things. A lot of people down there feel if they don't go run 30 kilometers every Sunday, they are losing their fitness or they're not doing better, right? So a lot of people need to just, you know, take confidence from the fact that, you know, there is a structure, there is a method, and, you know, it's okay to, you know, approach a few things differently. But yeah, I can't change everyone. We can only advise, we can nudge, we can let people know.
Yep. Another thing I was curious to get to hear your thoughts around was professional triathletes from India. So when do you think we'll see professional athletes from India on the international circuits, and what kind of changes do you think that will require?
I think one is the support system underneath with respect to it. Again, for example, even for me to qualify for the ITU Worlds, there was a fair amount of racing and points and everything, but also the process of it, wherein, you know, I need to get the Indian Triathlon Federation to understand, recognize the process, support, and all those things. So it took a bit of effort. They were supportive, and they, you know, helped me to get through the process and everything else. But once again, given the professional nature, there are two things, right? One is support from such organizations. Secondly, pure cost. I mean, as an age grouper, we know how much it costs to just stay in triathlon and do one race a year, right? So for somebody to get there, it's a catch-22. Unless you do well, you don't get sponsors. Unless you have sponsors and other things, you don't get races. So that's there. And the amount of it's just like how running or cycling or any other sport is. There is so much money into, you know, couple of big sports in India. I shouldn't say couple, pretty much cricket and other things, that it'll take some time on that. On the infrastructure side and things, I mean, look, as long as you have access to a pool and an indoor bike trainer and you can run, I don't personally see, you know, too many things stopping people from taking that big leap, right? I mean, all you need is, you know, even a 25-meter pool will do, right? It just takes time, effort. But I guess, individually speaking, people have to see that there is money in it, and initially they should have the funding and the money to go after such things, to become a professional triathlete and go on. So I think personally that is it. I don't see this being too far away where we won't have anyone. I think we found some great talent in places, really, you know, not even tier one cities, in tier two cities, who have been, you know, national level swimmers and then take up cycling, and, you know, phenomenal talent. We've been running, and we also do, I've been coaching a few people pro bono, mainly because, you know, if I find the right talent, and I tell this to a lot of people and our extended coaching team, we have about 15 other certified coaches in my coaching team in addition to me. And one of the things I've always told them is keep looking out, find some talent, and they feel they can't afford our coaching programs. Hey, you know, I need each one of you to at least coach one or two people pro bono, go after that. So again, look, it's just one person, one team like me trying to do that. I'm sure that will happen. Infrastructure is slowly catching on. But I think there are alternates to, you know, we can ride indoors, we can always manage our running. I don't see that as a big roadblock. I think mainly for the individual, and for that individual to spend that money and start early and get the right fundamentals going and all that. So there are a few things which need to come together, but I think it will take time. And hopefully, you know, it's not too long.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you make a good point there, because like I hear so many people in India, they say that it's not the most convenient to train here. And I'm like, yeah, sure, it may not be the most convenient, but then, you know, again, it comes to that cliche of, if you really want to do it, you'll find the way. If otherwise, you'll just find the excuses.
Yeah.
Well, and it seems like the rise of really great indoor training options for the bike, especially, has got to have boosted people's access to triathlon in places where roads or traffic or infrastructure make it difficult.
Absolutely. I mean, I have a Wahoo kicker for the last 3 years. It's not like in Brisbane, there are not enough people, but I mean, places for me to road, but there is still a safety element. There is convenience. I mean, yeah. I will sit on my bike trainer for 3 hours, maybe between 9:30 and 12:30 today if I have to, or even in the late evening. And I've been telling that to people. If you have an overall budget for triathlon, think about everything you need there. Forget about the damn group sets. Drop down one or two, buy a bike trainer, right? So, I'm thankfully, people are starting to heed that advice, and I have so many people doing indoor workouts, and I'm starting to give workouts which can also be done indoor, right? Trainer roads. I know Zwift is really cool, but obviously I'm a trainer road sort of a person with respect to the indoor workouts, and I actually can give them what to do. I'm trying to build some custom ones. And I've had people do 3 hour, 4 hour, 5 hour rides indoor. So mentally challenging, but they're doing it and they're seeing great improvements. And, you know, it's much safer. I've had some trainees who've had some unfortunate incidents and accidents. But so each time that comes up, I tell people, hey, you know, you're sure you'll get back home in one piece when you do it at home, right? So let's just do that as much as we can. Don't underestimate how good indoor training can make you, you know, better as a cyclist. So,
well, not only that, but it seems like the Ironman bike splits from the times of the old steel bikes Dave Scott, it's not that much faster today. I mean, it is faster, but it's not like hours faster.
Absolutely. I think
the engine is still the thing.
Definitely. I think I know we had some great times in the last Kona, great day, and even the bike split times have got better, but the change in technology of training and the equipment and all that has been so much, but the time differences are, I mean, people still in the 80s were still riding as hard as they could and swam and ran. So, I mean, full credit to it. It's still, you know, there's still a lot of, it's pretty much the engine, like you said, right? So,
invest in the engine. That's a great philosophy. Yeah.
Invest in the engine. Love that. And, you know, you just mentioned Kona and would love to hear your experience of racing there. You're one of three people to rep India at the Ironman World Championships. So what was that whole experience like?
That was, I think, that was 2017 last year. And I think it was like the whole week of the race week build-up and the race itself, for me to even, you know, just on race day for me to swim or ride and run in all the places or the roads or the street names which you have only heard on videos and or seen and have people talk about it was just, you know, something very special day. And that was one of my goals when I was doing each of my triathlons or every one of my training days. I mean, pretty much waking up to say, all right, what can I do to, you know, hopefully get me there types. So that's what drove me. And it was good to have such a big goal in all the build up. And well, they say it's hard, they say all those things. Yes, it still turned out to be, you know, a tough day out there, but I didn't really care too much about the finish time. I think I had a great time, not necessarily, you know, the actual target time maybe, which I would have maybe liked to do, but end to end, right through from the race week, the build up, the atmosphere, and the race was very special. Would love to go back there. So plotting my next set of goals and things to, you know, head back there to, you know, have another crack.
Did you get much press back in India in terms of people understanding or acknowledging, celebrating that as such a big achievement?
Not too much, but again, I think in general, I just shared it as whatever my milestone was and things. I did get a couple of references from some of my friends who put that, but not too much. It's still not something which is, even here in Australia, I don't think triathlon gets any newsworthy thing, even in the, you know, big presses, right? Even when we have had major world champions and things. So you can only understand that India, it's not even a sport, and I'm just somebody who just went to Kona. So not really. I think it'll take, and I'm I'm fine with it because, you know, we do this for various reasons. But I've also tried to see what we can do to inject a bit of, you know, enthusiasm or interest into the sport. So that's been something I've been trying to do. And well, people tell me I need to be a bit more social, a bit more vocal about a few things. But I guess everybody has different personalities. But now I have a bigger team and a business. I think I'm starting to do a bit more few things to, you know, get a few things going there. But I think we're still a fair distance away from, you know, people recognizing that as a sport.
Mm. Yeah. All right. To you know, sort of wrap things up here, we've got a final few questions. Going forward, what would you like your next chapters to look like?
I think the key thing is to get triathlon a lot more popularized in India. You know, I would like to see a major brand like, you know, Ironman and other things come to India. I want a lot more people to take up triathlon as a lifestyle, make changes, and, you know, so that they can, I mean, they can do, triathlon is just one sort of, you know, vehicle or means to stay fit and healthy. And that's something I have experience on. And that's the only reason I'm speaking about it or I'm doing something. So, but in general, if people can just take up some form of healthy lifestyle and things across, especially given how big the, you know, the working population and the aspect of things in India are, I think I'd like to see what small things I can do to make that. Personally, for me, I'd like to, you know, continue to hit my goals and, you know, get a sub 10 Ironman at some stage and, you know, go back to Kona and do a few things that'll keep me. And we're also building up from a business perspective. Definitely, we've built a small app and a platform which we want to take to the world stage with respect to ability for coaches to coach people and also to establish a much better framework and academy to coach people across India. So a few things to go after, but you know, the journey continues and I definitely look forward to what it has in store for me.
Perfect. And what's the message you would want people listening to take away from your story?
Yeah, I mean, I think I let it too late to take that first step, right? We don't wake up one day 20 or 30 kilos overweight, right? It happens over a period. And why make it hard, right? So that's what I've been trying to tell people and, you know, whatever people around me saying, when you're 18, 19, 20, 24, whatever it is, you know, don't make it hard on yourself by the time you're 35 or 40, right? So I wish I had taken those steps a little earlier, would have made it easier for me. And I hope anyone listening or whatever it is, start making that change. And it's a hard one to reverse that process, but it can start. And the earlier it starts, the better. And write some big goals. And if that gets you going, or whatever it gets you going, right? So personally, for me, writing those big goals and going after it, you know, got me going. Find whatever, you know, whatever floats your boat. So see what works for you, but definitely take that first step.
Yep. And are there any people or brands that you'd like to give a shout out to?
Nothing with respect to brands, but obviously, you know, all through this journey and triathlons takes us so much out of you. I think my super supportive wife, Hema, I mean, right through from the decision of moving out of corporate into this where, you know, supported me, not just in that, but the entire scenario where she was still working and, you know, putting through with all these changes. And obviously the long hours of training and supportive, she's been there every race supporting me. That's a big, you know, without which I don't think I would be here. Right now also working with a big team of, you know, with my company, Yoska, my partner in crime, Prasad. I think in the last few years, we've worked really hard to build a product and shape up the training program. And to every one of my coaches who has helped me and our coaching team back in India, who's helping a lot of people in India, amazing group. And look forward to, you know, what we can do out there.
Yeah, so if someone wants to get involved with coaching or just wants to get in touch with you or the team, where can they do so?
Yeah, thanks. We have a company called Yoska. Yos and Ka, two Sanskrit words. Yos means happy or healthy. Ka means body or soul. So our vision is having a healthy body and a happy soul. And we have a training academies for triathlon, running, cycling, and general fitness. So people can go to Yoska, yoska.in, to find out more about our training programs, our coaches, and what we can do to help you out there.
Perfect. And our last question is, why do you try?
I think for me, it's become a lifestyle, and it's given me a lot in the sport. And right now, it's also my career. So I keep doing this. I want to push myself personally with respect to my own athletic sort of, where I can get there. And second, it gives me a lot of joy, satisfaction to see others whom we are all coaching to meet their goals, whatever it may be, just losing weight or doing a triathlon or running a marathon. And that's what keeps me going. And that's why I try.
Awesome. All right, Coach, thank you a ton for coming on the show here and for sharing your journey with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Swapnil. And thank you, team. And great job you all are doing. I had a read of this. I know Swapnil from a long time, but great to see him and the team working on this. Wish you well. And thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. And I look forward to future conversations.
For sure.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Hey, everyone. Thanks a lot for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's show. If you did and you love the Hot Podcast, it would mean a lot to us if you could subscribe, rate, and leave the podcast a review on whichever platform you're listening on. Your reviews help the show be found by and reach more people like yourself. So we'd really appreciate it if you took a minute to leave us that review. And thank you all for being a part of this community. If you haven't already, you can find and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Strava at Humans of Triathlon. So head on over there and let us and our guests know how you liked the episode. Also, the show notes for everything mentioned or discussed on the episode can be found on our website, which is humansoftriathlon.com/hotpodcast. And be sure to join us again next week, where we'll bring you another amazing guest and story from this ordinary but extraordinary world of triathlon. Until then, everyone, keep trying.